will now convene July 16, 2013, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings to order. First off, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of July 11, 2013, and they have now been signed. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bufelger. We have several cases that are in compliance that aren't reflected on the agenda.
Which ones
so I can go over them real quick. Starting with number 5, SMG041321 for 211 Fairviews in compliance as of July 15th. Case number 6, SMG051323 for 511 Main Street is in compliance as of July 15th. Number 7, SMG051326 for 380 Jefferson Street is in compliance as of July 16th. And I believe that is all.
Okay. Any other announcements?
I don't believe so.
No.
All right, our first case is in compliance, so we'll proceed to our second case, Abraham Connolly and 265 LLC DBA Bishop's Tavern.
We have to be sworn.
Oh, yeah. They just
I'm sorry. If you would please go ahead and swear those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, we return to Abraham Connolly and 265 LLC DBA Bishop's Tavern. And I believe we have in attendance via telephone Mr. Hartley. I'm going to respond. Is that correct, Mr. Hartley?
That is correct, sir.
All right. Then we are about to start with the city attorney giving us his presentation. And we are the action to be taken here today is the determination of a will fine order. So, Mr. Jackson, you can proceed.
That's correct. Mr. Kelger, and that's on 512 Seabreeze Boulevard. And as indicated, the position of the city is that the property now, or all the violations have been corrected, and the property is now in compliance, and the city is looking for a will fine. And a number of things are the basis for that will fine. One is that this was a complaint-driven violation. The nature of the violation, as indicated, non-conform use of the bars instead of restaurant, authorizing non-conforming use, the violation as to alcoholic beverages under Article 17, 2.13, subsection B. Then we also had illegal signage and the rodent infestation certification and a sound violation, amplified sound. The violations were reoccurring, although they have not been before the magistrate. The inspector will advise that these are violations that had been noticed of before and had advised the business of in the past. The ability or the operation of this business with these types of violations create a competitive advantage. Specifically, as noted, and I think we had previously given the magistrate the city's interpretation and application of the Article 17, Section 2.3 regarding alcoholic beverages, where it's required that they have a full-service kitchen. So a business that's serving alcoholic beverages as a restaurant that doesn't have a full-service kitchen, doesn't have a freezer, stove, and fire suppression system, and those requirements would have a special competitive advantage over the other businesses in terms of cost. It requires that they have fixed seating and permanent seating arrangements, and again, being able to avoid that can make it into a dance hall and have special advantages over other businesses, as well as the whole intent with alcoholic beverages being sold is that there's an open kitchen where prepared food is available to the patrons. And in this situation, that was what the allegation said, that was not what was occurring, and that too would create a circumstance that separates them from other businesses of like kind. And along with all of those, we also believe that it creates a public safety, especially as it relates to the rodent and the pest control and the necessity for them to maintain the current certifications as necessary to show that those things are occurring. So with all that being said, I'll look to the inspector, see if there's any other issues that he would want to raise, and I'll turn him over to the
Just a second. Mr. Hartley, did you hear all that?
I did.
Okay. All right, Mr. Inspector.
Good morning. The current condition of the property is that it is in compliance. However, with the configuration of the property, like Mr. Jackson said, it's very easy for them to revert back to a non-conforming situation. So we'd like to ask for that will fine to keep them motivated not to go back. All the other violations have been corrected. They've been actively working on those two eastern buildings. The actual Bishop property is currently in compliance. Haven't gotten any complaints since the last reinspection. I've conferred with the zoning officer as well. We have put them in compliance, but we are asking for that will fine.
All right. Mr. Hartley?
Yes, sir. If I may make argument, I have to ask the will fine issue. Hearing officer Bertelsi, if you recall, going back to the hearing that we originally had on the issue of the violations, there was essentially five separate subjects. First being whether they were functioning as a bar as a restaurant. The second being the illegal signage. Third and fourth were actually kind of combined, which was an allegation that there was a rodent infestation, so and so. But then the last was an amplified noise. As you recall, the last four of those, the signage, the rodents, the infestation, and the amplified noise, were easily corrected, one of which, amplified noise, by having a permit. I think we provided proof of the permit or proof of a permit that may have been out of date and then another permit that was granted. The issue here is this, and here's where it becomes problematic for my client. What they went through during the period of coming into compliance and prior coming to compliance was nothing short of a circus for them to get this thing fixed. And I think that this court even alluded to the fact that there was discretionary decisions being made at the city government level that were very, very discretionary and nebulous. And even the court inquired as to one of the big issues was the menu. I think Ms. Colleen Miles had said that the menu was non-compliant, or that the menu didn't, show that it was actually a restaurant functioning as a restaurant. One of those things, and as I recall in my notes from the hearing request, even you inquired as to the city in the business of setting menus for restaurants. Given that nebulous nature, or the purely discretionary nature of the way the city sought to enforce this, our concern is that the court enters a will fine order. That essentially my client ends up in a situation where there's a lack of procedural due process prior to the imposition, which are pretty large fines. If I recall, the fines are $1,000 per day, and up to $15,000 if there's irreparable harm that takes place. In absence of those procedural safeguards, we think that it places our client, certainly given the history between the city and the client, at a substantial procedural disadvantage, and we're extremely uncomfortable with that. The other issue is from a purely historical standpoint, these people have had no other scrapes with the city. There's never been any issues, and they've, as you can see from the record, bent over backwards to make sure that they've been in compliance, even when compliance has sometimes been difficult to ascertain as to what was the appropriate level. So what we're asking in an abundance of caution is for you to deny the will fine request and just allow them to proceed as normal business, and if there's future violations, they'd be dealt with in a normal manner.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, what's the purpose to be served by a will fine? And if you want to give me the legislative purpose, I'll be happy to look at that too.
Well, it starts, Mr. Vakelji, that just as your question is asking, with the legislative purpose, that in the code itself, in Chapter 162, there is provision for repeat violation. And the whole idea and objective there is that when someone haven't been put on notice that these types of events are a violation, that if we look at the initial purpose, and I'm going off a thought, not looking at the statute, but if we look at the initial purpose of the Code Enforcement Act, it's to create an expedited or expedient remedy to violations that are for the public safety, welfare, and so forth. This situation is one where, without a will fine, we go back to the process of having to cite them, give them time to come into compliance, and we don't eliminate the due process element, as Mr. Hartley indicated, because they still have the procedural due process. We're making an allegation, we come before you, but we get to come before you a lot more immediate and not suffer the delay that's to put them on notice, because they've been put on notice by this prior violation. And with that being said, in addition, as I said before, it creates a fairness out in the business community. Yes, in this situation, it creates an inequitable and unfair business competitiveness as the other businesses around that are following or that we would be expecting to follow these ordinances and are put at a different burden and a greater burden than the business that's able to avoid it, and especially if it's able to avoid it at key times, since this is a community that generates and operates through peak seasons and special events. The ability to go violate during an event period and then and wait for us to have to bring it before you, the magistrate, or wait for a period of notice and then to you, the magistrate, is less impactful, because once it comes to you, then you, without the will fine or without you at least treating it as a prior violation, it would require you to give them notice and an opportunity to cure it and all of that, which again creates this period of delay and opportunity to ignore it during the periods of most importance.
Mr. Stenson, when did the respondent come into compliance?
The last inspection on the property was 5/14.
And focusing exclusively on the violation having to do with the non-conforming use as a bar instead of a restaurant, how did the respondent come into compliance?
We conferred with the zoning official. He added additional seating. He brought his kitchen back up to operating order, stocked with food and all that other required things for a restaurant. He's actually operating as a restaurant, not a nightclub now.
So he moved seats around.
He added seats.
He added seats, mm-hmm. And he stocked his kitchen.
Correct.
That was it?
As far as I know, I haven't gone there to
So all
dine.
He has to do to fall out of compliance is move seats around and not stock the kitchen.
That's correct.
And if I can clarify, when you say stock the kitchen, made the kitchen operational so that they're able to serve foods during the period necessary.
I mean, do we actually know if they're serving food there or what quantum of food they're serving?
They did provide me with a new updated menu, if that helps.
Okay, for example, have we seen any kind of receipts that show what percentage of the food, what percentage of the business is attributable to food as opposed to alcohol?
I have not.
Okay. All right. All right. Mr. Hartley, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, let me just add, for purposes of determination, we'll find out. I don't think we have an evidentiary obligation to provide anything more than already what was provided. Judge, they're in compliance. They've been in compliance. I will point out that there was some difficulty in getting the reinspection scheduled. We had made multiple requests. I filed requests on two separate occasions. We had requested that they get back in there, and I think it was earlier than that to get the reinspection. Having said that, these are not repeat violators. You know, they don't have a history of having problems. They cured the things that were in there. And frankly, you know, they ran into quite a bit of problems, you know, at the city level trying to get, you know, there was a permit that was pulled for an adjacent piece of property that's connected to that building. And one of the things that happened was is they issued a building permit, and then they pulled the building permit back. And I mean, we literally ran in circles trying to get the building permit reinstated. Because Ms. Miles was saying that it was now an expansion of a non-conforming use, despite the fact that the alleged was conforming. I think that given the historical background between my clients and the city, that a will find order is a very, very dangerous thing. And it's almost, in my mind, akin to, you know, some sort of injunctive relief where the city has to show that they're entitled to have this determination or at least the imposition of fines prior to the hearing and so on and so forth. My clients are uncomfortable with being in that position. even though, you know, this court has been very fair to them, it just seems as they haven't met the burden to be able to do this. So we're asking you to deny their request. I don't think you're going to see these cats again.
Okay, well, with all due respect, I'm not going to deny the request, and let me tell you why. First off, will fines are very judiciously meted out, particularly by this special magistrate, and while it's not necessarily always going to be the case, they're usually sort of a graduated thing. In other words, the first violation gets you X, the second violation gets you somewhere between two to four times X, and then from there you're on your way to $5,000. But having said that, that is not to say that there may not be an egregious enough a violation to cause an immediate $5,000 will fine. So that having been said, I'm in no way trying to dissipate or weaken the city's regulations with regard to that. But more importantly, what I'm focusing on here is the nature of the use. Apparently, we can be back to a violation by doing nothing more than moving seats around and not going out to Sam's to stock the kitchen for the weekend. And that, to me, means that I do believe, in this particular circumstance, a little heightened attention to the necessity of making certain that this business is treated as a restaurant, as opposed to allowing to just be a bar, is something for which a will fine is suited and is particularly suited. So that having been said, I'm going to grant the city's request for a will fine, and for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000. Okay?
And will that be reduced to a written order, or do we address something?
That'll be reduced to a written order.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all the business I have before the court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're done.
Good. Case number two, Deep Lounge and another Plan B, Inc., DBA 509 Lounge.
Mr. Kelger, that's actually case number three. I don't see anyone coming up for Deep Lounge. I'll tell the magistrate
that
I...
The respondent was previously represented by Mr. Hood?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, anyway, not seeing a respondent, proceed.
Yes, would like to advise the magistrate, I have had conversation with Mr. Hood regarding this. We spoke on last Wednesday, advising him that the violations that have existed, as you may recall, these are violations that, or at least our allegations, our position is that we've had violations for a number of months, and we were, based on the legislation, we were delayed because of Mr. Hood's position with the legislature. Nevertheless, the violations existed. We had put the business on notice. I forwarded to Mr. Hood that back in June was the last correspondence I saw, that where the business was notified, they were given copies of photos of the violation. The inspector advised that the violation was simple to remedy. Two of them just were issues of needing a certification, and I think the third was seating arrangement. It was a similar type of violation as the prior case. And Mr. Hood, when I spoke to him, he acknowledged that an issue, so he was very compliant and cordial when he came at the previous meeting, acknowledging that, admitting to the noncompliance. But he acknowledged these violations. He asked me to send him that information. I forwarded it to him. He said he'd get it to his client, and I advised them to get a hold of the inspector if they had any questions on this, as it had been something made clear to him for a lengthy period of time. We have heard nothing. The inspector's informed me he's heard no follow-up, and as of right now, the status of the property is that it's in noncompliance, and I would ask the inspector to come up for any further questions regarding it.
Good morning again. Currently, there is progress being made on the property. However, the property remains in noncompliance for the infestation paperwork, pest control, and the certification of the hood system. The kitchen hood system has to be inspected periodically, and it hasn't been inspected in quite a while. And what was the third? Seating. That's correct. And like the last case, the seating issue. The only difference is that this property is not in compliance as of right now.
And if I could approach and provide to you the memo that I've sent to Mr. Hood. I guess I did not announce, Mr. Kelger, that the city staff is requesting a position of a fine and asking for $250 per day, and we're trying to verify the maximum amount. I believe it's to $20,000, but I'm not certain. Just looking at it, and the criteria would be if it's between $500,000 and $1.5 million, it would be $25,000 max. And so we would, I don't know, do you have a, okay, I believe Ms. Hampton has a property appraisal report. Okay, I guess we have to take it as it shows. It's showing $274,000, so it will be $20,000.
What was that you just told me?
The maximum amount.
That was the value on a property appraiser's report.
$274,000 and
that's what the statute ties it to? Yes, the statute ties it to the property appraiser's value.
How in the future do you plan on demonstrating whether or not these bars are actually functioning as restaurants? Is it going to be by looking at seats and refrigerators, or is at some point, is there going to be some sort of financial data we can look to get any kind of scientific certainty as to what we're dealing with?
As far as the financial data, I guess we would have to confer with legal and see if we as code enforcement officers have access to that. However, to determine if whether or not they're functioning as a fully functional restaurant, we plan to do occasional operations in the area to make sure that they are functioning as a restaurant, not as reverting back to nightclubs. We'll be doing it throughout different periods of the day, lunchtime, evening, for dinner, or late evening. So there'll be spot checks being done at both locations, well, specifically at this location that we're talking about now.
Mr. Kelly, as you can see as well, we kind of made sure we clarified the position of the city as it related to its definitions and its interpretation and application of the ordinance in that area, so that can aid and guide our inspectors with clarity as to how, when they're exactly in violation.
Technically, you could comply with this statute, never serve the first sandwich.
Well, again, these are just interpretations, very specific.
Right. Shall contain a full-service kitchen. All right, I got a kitchen. Shall be a fixed or permanent seating arrangement. Okay, I got my seats out there and tables nailed to the floor. And alcoholic beverages can only be sold when the kitchen's open. Okay, the kitchen's open.
Oh.
And prepared food is available. Yeah, I got prepared food available.
Yeah,
heated up cocktail weenies.
Yeah. Well, and our real...
I thought there was a requirement that a certain percentage of the business had to be restaurant-oriented. I don't see that in here at all. Where did I get that idea? I guess that's in school.
The ordinance.
Yeah, that's not the complete ordinance. That's clarification, but I'll take a look at the ordinance just so I can be sure that I want to say that.
Well, if you tell me it's there, I'll believe you. I mean, but I just don't see it.
This is the ordinance. It's just not reflected on that section that we just provided you with.
I would assume there's something in the ordinance to kind of like drive the desire to have a restaurant operational.
I'm sorry, what's the section?
No, I'll take your word for it, but it is there, not just a badge requirement.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my thought. I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, it scared me when I read it. I started to think I was holding these people to something that wasn't a requirement.
I mean, it's a percentage, and I don't know if it's indicated on that sheet as to the floor area and so forth in terms of its use. Any separate bar or lounge area shall not occupy more than 25% of the floor area of the entire restaurant, exclusive of kitchen, restrooms, storage, and utility areas.
All right, so returning to...
That's the agreement that the restaurant owners sign and the requirements there.
And again, just so that you're fully informed, there's a copy of the relevant section of the ordinance.
All right, very good. Okay, so the city's asking for a $250 a day fine. Commencing July 3rd, continuing till in compliance, or $20,000. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes, sir. To a maximum of $20,000.
All right. And so we don't have. Let me be clear on this. We don't have confirmation of the seating arrangement that we asked for. Is that correct?
Correct.
We don't have confirmation that the kitchen's been
inspected.
That's correct.
And in addition to that, you're still waiting for some sort of certification regarding rodent harborage. You don't have this kitchen hood system inspection done, which I assume is integral to satisfying yourself you have a functioning kitchen.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right, I'm going to order the respondent pay the sum of $250 per day commencing July 3, 2013. And continuing each day thereafter until the property is either in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000. Period. Is that it?
That's it, Mr. Kelger. I would assume that upon them coming into compliance, we'll probably return requesting a WOA fine. I think we haven't really established a comfort method in asking for a WOA fine while it's still an open running condition, but we believe a WOA fine would be appropriate once they comply.
I don't want to forecast anything, but please don't forget that, because my intent with both the prior case and this, given that the non-conforming use is something that's very easily lapsed back into, if you will, that I do think a will fine is appropriate, because I understand the city's, well, anyway, it's supposed to be a restaurant, it's supposed to be a restaurant. That's all there is to it. Okay, Is that it for case number three?
Yes, sir.
All right, case number four, Sea Level Properties, LLC.
This is the property at 142 North Peninsula Drive.
Hang on a second.
I'm sorry.
This is bothering me. Why is it you're waiting until another date and time for the will fine? Because they are not yet in compliance?
Yes, that's just been our practice.
So you're going to wait for them to come into compliance as a prerequisite or predicate for the will fine?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, thank you. Go ahead. Case number four.
Yes, this is the property at 142 North Peninsula Drive. The inspector is Stanley Garcia. They're here before the magistrate for imposition of a fine. They've done some work, but it's not in compliance, and I'll call Mr. Garcia to update the magistrate and advise of our request for fine.
Okay. That's in respondent. What say the city?
Basically, it's still in non-compliance, and now we're looking for a fine of $50 a day and capped at $15,000. Yeah, what they have done was the dorm living issue was rectified because the police had removed them. Outside storage was removed. The damaged fence was repaired. The peeling paint and dirt and grime, that was not. The missing glass was replaced, but now I see there's broken glass. The missing soffits have not been replaced. The running water has not become an issue anymore. And no occupation license is not needed anymore because they're not renting. They planned on selling. They did have a buyer, and that was why it was amended last hearing because of the it was supposed to close and allow the new owners to rectify all the other violations, but I don't know if it just didn't go through or not because
okay, the amount of the fine you're suggesting is what?
$50 a day.
All right, I'm gonna fine the respondent some $50 per day commencing July 3, 2013, continuing each day thereafter. So the amount of the fine reaches what? $15,000. So the property is either in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number five is in compliance. Case number six is in compliance. Case number seven is in compliance. Case number eight, Elias E. Ramos.
Yes.
Here for the respondent. Say the city.
Yes, Ms. Vakelja, this is the property at 523 Park Drive. The inspector is Edwin Lopez. The case is before you for imposition of fine, and it is in noncompliance, and I will call Mr. Lopez to advise the magistrate further as to the status.
Mr. Vakelja, the property is still in noncompliance. I've spoken to the property owner's son. Few weeks back, seems nomadic, hasn't made an attempt to make any repairs to the property. As recent, the property seems vacant, and no attempts have been made to rectify the violation.
Still have our damaged wood fence?
Yes, sir.
Our excessive yard debris?
Yes, all violations hasn't been cured yet.
Okay, very good. And what is the city proposing?
The city is proposing a fine of $50 a day for each day of noncompliance. 15,000 caps, sir.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $50 per day commencing July 3, 2013 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is either in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. All right. New cases. Cardinal Motel Florida, LLC, care of RAIT Financial Trust. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. Fitzgerald, the inspector is coming from outside.
Okay. Mr. Vakelja, this is the property at 740 North Atlantic Avenue. It's a vacant lot. These are violations related to the fencing as part of the requirements for the vacant lot. One of the remedies, a simple remedies, is removal. That has been communicated to the...
Removal of the fence?
Removal of the fence. That has been communicated to...
The owners.
And the city is looking for... they're currently still in non-compliance, so the city is looking for non-compliance next cutoff. And I don't know if Mr. Fitzgerald have any other further input.
I have spoken with the owners. They have contracted a company to remove the fence, so I expect it to be in compliance by next cutoff.
Next cutoff is September 4th.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Same thing.
Based on our...
August 7th.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah,
August 6th. They should be able to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by August 7th, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Del Air Florida LLC, care of RAIT Financial Trust.
Yes, you can see Mr. Vickel.
Here for the respondent.
I'm sorry.
Let's say the city.
First, I apologize, speaking of you. As you can see, this property is under the same trust as far as the responsibilities or its care of them. We've been in communication with the owners as well. This is the same situation regarding fencing on a vacant lot, and the same indication that they will be able to get this. They already contracted to have the fence removed, and so we're asking for non-compliance next cutoff.
So this, you're showing me the same picture. So I've been looking at two lots here.
Yes, you can't tell the difference. One's on the right, one's on the left.
Good enough. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by August 7, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 11, Burgoyne Properties Incorporated. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Yeah, Mr. Vickelge, the respondent was here. He had indicated to the inspector he needed to leave. This is the property at... Well, it has two addresses, 174 North Beach Street, or also known as 141 Bay Street, Burgoyne Properties. I think the inspector can probably better identify it by the business name. I'm not sure what that is, but the property is still in non-compliance. It's a cracked window, and the inspector is asking for non-compliance next cutoff. The inspector is Sandy Garcia, and I'll ask him to speak any further to the magistrate on that.
Yes, I spoke to the owner of the Mediterranean restaurant right there, and he said that he will have it in compliance before the next cutoff. He gave me his contact number and everything. I've been dealing with management, and they didn't get to do it. Apparently, they had two windows broken, one on that business and one on the one they own next door. They fixed the one on the left and didn't get to do this one, but he said he will have it done.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, or the respondent to come into compliance by August 7, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Michael Ray Williams and Mark Stephen Williams as joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
Mark Williams.
Could you state your name into the microphone, please?
I'm Mark Williams.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Williams, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. All right, hang on one second, Mr. Inspector. What does this gentleman need to do in order to commit to compliance?
He needs to repair the roof in the rear. He also needs to take down the tarp in the front of the property on the left side, that one right there, and if there's any outside storage with the woods in the rear, just needs to remove those. And the peeling and faded paint just needs to paint it. Also, there are windows that were covered up with boards, needs to remove those. If the windows are damaged, they need to be repaired.
And how much time should it take to come into compliance?
I'd say the next cutoff. He said he's already started.
Talked to Mr. Garcia yesterday.
That's me.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. And this year, all that paint peeled right there, I've repainted it, and I've took all the yard debris out of my backyard. I just need to cut it.
Right.
And I'm going to fix it. I'm unemployed. I had to borrow money to fix my roof, and it's raining every day. I don't want to tear that thing off. I just need a little more time, and I will bring it up.
How much time do you think it should take to reasonably come into compliance?
20 days.
How about if I give you till September 4th? Does that mean it's going to get done?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes, sir. All right, well, I'll take you at your word then. All right, having already found the respondent non-compliance, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by September 4, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
I'm going to cut all the bushes down. My friend's here. He's got lawn material. It's going to look like a golf course.
Don't forget to call the inspector for him to do a final inspection.
I'm in touch with him.
We spoke. Yeah.
Very good.
All right, good luck to you.
Case number 13, Linda Jones.
Okay.
Thank you. Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
This is the property at 801 Forest Lane. It's the violations of junk vehicles, broken windows, and dilapidated roof. And it's before you for compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. And this is a field-generated complaint. And I know he has a number of photos, and I would ask Mr. Stinson to come forward and advise you further on any other information regarding the violation.
Good morning. As of this morning, this property remains in non-compliance for all the violations that have been listed. City's asking for non-compliance. Next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being non-compliance. Order the respondent to commit to compliance by August 7, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14 is in compliance. Case number 15, Randall K. Nealon. Mr. Nealon?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Could we please give your name and be sworn?
Kenneth Randall Nealon.
You raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Nealon, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, they did.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required to enable the respondent to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Next cutoff is August 7, 2013. Mr. Nealon, how much time are you going to require in order to come into compliance?
Well, I work about 12 to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I did manage to sneak in. Had it not been for the rain, I would have done everything possible to bring it up to code. But I did get quite a bit done. May I suggest these to you to look at the way the house, these photos were taken yesterday. I have a media card or a flash card if you would like to put it on the screen. Would you like to do so? Have you been? Is this
that would be a question.
Up to the magistrate.
All right, so
would
you
look
you
at,
left
as of yesterday?
I'm sorry, how much you have left to do?
Well, actually, I need a permit because to repair my front porch is structural. Anything I've done so far is paint and liquid nails and caulking. And painting is probably 75% complete. If it hadn't rained every day, the painting would be done. And I'm going to redo some shutters. And also the door on the west side of the building has some, I don't know who put crummy wood in there, but needs to be redone. The entire house was built in 1926. Actually, it was built out of salvage material. Two blocks down the street, is what's known as the Bludgett Mansion. It's the Victorian house. It's been really nicely redone. Well, actually, the whole entire big building had been moved two blocks south from another location in 1925. The rest of the wood is first cut yellow pine. It is basically indestructible. And this house you're looking at, built in 1926, there's not a termite in the building. It's structurally sound. The floors are sound. The foundation is sound. There's actually steel beams underneath the house that I put one in, and the rest are pressure-treated 2x4s. I also own two properties down the street, two apartment complexes. I built one in 1973, the other in 1974. They're very nice buildings. They're taken care of very well. But the city of Daytona Beach has really not very done very much to Kingston as far as keeping Kingston in an upgraded the street, the curbs. In 40 years, about the only thing that has been done to Kingston Avenue by the city, there have been two trees cut down. One was in front of, on the corner of my 12-plex property, and it took 4 years of requests, certified letters, multiple telephone calls to get them to finally come out and figure it was hollow and was a hazard. They did take it down. That was probably in, I would guess, 1982 or 1983. Actually, about 3 weeks ago, we had complained for probably 6 months. There was another tree. One of the trees was hanging over Kingston Avenue, fell on a Volvo. I think y'all are familiar. There was a lawsuit on it across the roof of the car. But they cut one big branch off of it. The only other thing they have done as far as repairs to the street, there was two or three water leaks, which they patched. The patches were crummy. And then they had two guys worked an entire week about 15 years ago with a little grinder because the sidewalks from US 1 to Beach Street were an absolute cracked up, jagged disaster, and they ground the edges off of it. My apartments are 100% in compliance.
Now,
Mr. Stenson, did you look at the pictures as of the distance that I've taken it up to since yesterday? On Friday, I applied for a building permit because to fix that front deck, which I agreed needs to be redone, I have all the extra pieces of original yellow pine, but I do need to build a pressure-treated substructure underneath it, which I will do, but I have to wait on being issued a building permit. I applied Friday. I have a copy of it with me if you wish. I'm going to bring this house 100% up to code, and I'm going to sell it.
How long do you anticipate it taking to get your permit?
Well, the application takes 7 days before they even tell me anything.
Yeah. All right, so you've got, and once you get your permit in hand, how long do you anticipate it will take in order to do the work?
3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months to repair the front deck?
Well, I'm going to do the side door as well and actually bring it up to further code so it'll be in a sellable manner. Let me tell you one more story.
Is it pertinent to these violations?
Absolutely. When I built my two apartment complexes, this house had bums living in it. The house belonged to a lady in New York. Her son lived in there. Drug addict, drug dealer, alcoholic, 15 people living in there or more. Police there 2, 3, and 4 times a day. Totally unkempt. No power, no water. They were defecating in a bucket. Could not get the police to stop it, so I made an offer to the woman. She said no because they were going to retire in it and redo it and get her son out of her. I can give you their names if you want. I asked her to buy the house. She said no. 2 months later, she came in because her son was such a problem and basically went to jail. I'll give you his name if you want it. I bought the house. I made it look presentable. I had used it for storage for my two apartment complexes down the street. In 2011, he got me. It hadn't been 100% upkept, mainly because I didn't have the time or the money to redo it. But I'm bringing it up pretty nice right now. Did you look at these pictures, Mr. Stinson? And I see, I'm sure you have. It's a very nice little house. In fact, kind of really nice inside as well. But it has to be structurally sound first, and I'm taking the steps to do so.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to continue the imposition or the determination of a compliance date at this point in time to our August 7th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I hope you will have your permit in hand.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I'm hoping you will give me a more specific estimate as to how much time will be required, because I'm not prepared to just hand over 3 to 4 months right now, carte blanche, knowing as little as I know. So I've already found the respondent in noncompliance. We will continue the determination of the compliance date to the, I'm sorry, the August 13th meeting. It's not
okay.
August 7th, it's August 13th. I'll continue the imposition of a compliance date to the August 13th meeting. You should know more about your permit, hopefully have it
should
in hand.
About more.
And then you can tell me, and hopefully a few more of these things will along the way will be brought into compliance. But more importantly, we can then talk about an end date with some specificity. Very good?
Pretty good, but I would like to bring one more thing forward. I don't mean to be rude.
But?
But for 40 years, there was one man who has done the maintenance on Kingston Avenue from Beach Street to US 1. 2 years ago, I don't cut the US 1 anymore. I have cut the grass on 3 or 4 times every year at my expense with my riding mowers, my weed whackers, and my edger, end to end, what's left of the cracked up sidewalk. I've cut the grass in people's front yards. I've cut the city grass, one end of the street to the end of the other end of the street, to keep it somewhat presentable, because I have tenants down there. When they drive down the street, they see it's a total slum. The city has done zero to take care of Kingston. I would like to show you photographs of the front.
Am I the person you should be complaining to?
I've tried the city. It doesn't work.
Well, I don't, unfortunately.
May I say, okay, this house that you're trying to find me in climate, in compliance with, may I show you the
absolutely
the exact right directly in front of my home, how the city takes care of my street.
Let's
step back to the podium, sir.
Pardon me?
Just step back to the podium,
okay, next, sir.
Well, if that's the way the street looks, then yeah, I guess you should be complaining to somebody.
I have. And the answer is, it's not in the budget. Well, actually, I don't feel it's. No, you may have a bad copy. John?
Thank you.
No, I'd like that one back. I just want you to see, you know, let's compare, you know, the condition of my home to the condition of your street.
Mr. Nealon, we get the
yes
point.
Okay.
Right? Unfortunately, I can't order anybody to go fix any streets, and unfortunately,
well,
the city has financial constraints, and that's beyond my purview. I have my little universe that I.
Well, I understand that, but
it doesn't extend to paving your streets for you, unfortunately. But all that having been said,
that's not mine.
For whatever it's worth, the fact that your property has been brought in here and somebody's asked you to bring it into compliance isn't indicative of any lack of character, as far as I'm concerned. So.
Well, this is.
You got a little
pin
out bag situation.
It's coming back up and everything.
All right, very good. All right, then we'll see you on August 13, 2013. And at that point in time, hopefully you'll have your permit. Some of these other things will be in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about when you will be fully in compliance and put a date on that. And that'll be the end of this matter.
Most happily.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Are we good?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good deal.
Who'd you
number
get with
16,
me?
Vara Construction Act. Incorporated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Have a good day. Navarra Construction Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, this is the property at 521 Pine Street. It's a residential property, and it's a rental property owned by Navarre Construction Incorporated. I contacted the business, spoke with Mr. Navarre on yesterday. He had the thought that the tenant had worked things out already with Mr. Stinson. However, that is not the case. It remains a non-compliant. Well, I don't know. Mr. Stinson and I talked about that. I'm not sure. So what I think I need to do instead is bring Mr. Stinson up to clarify exactly what the status is as of this moment. But it is before you for compliance or non-compliance determination, and the inspector is John Stinson. I'll call John Stinson to the mic.
Good morning. This property has had parking issues for quite some time. It's a single-family home with a one-car garage. However, the property owner has decided to turn it into a rental property. And as you know, most families have more than one car. However, this is what I'm getting with this: the parking in the front yard, parking on the side yard, and the parking in the rear. This red Honda here has been in a serious accident and doesn't even have a tag on it. They've moved it off of the grass, and now it's in the driveway. It's parked properly, there's no tag on it, and it's inoperable, so it's a junk vehicle as well. The blue Impala is no longer being parked in the front yard. It's now actually being parked on the street. So ultimately, yes, the property is in compliance, but I am asking for a will fine.
So I'm finding non-compliance, compliance, will fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. And just it may be what Mr. Stins was about to tell you as well. Just one other part of this information is that he's informed the property owner, and I informed him of this as well, based on my conversations with Mr. Stinson, that the lot has more than enough space to for them to pursue adding an additional driveway if that's what they believe they need. Quite honestly, Mr. Navarre and the property owner believes that it's specific to this tenant and not a general problem that with the property, so we don't know what they're going to do, but as you can see, it is a continuous and substantial problem.
Okay, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to have been in non-compliance. Further, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to now be in compliance, and will now order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000. Okay, folks, if you will permit me, we're going to take a recess for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we have that court report. There's no general recording, so And the same thing with these chambers, and that may be part of the reason we do have an active recording.
I thought I was going to be asking for
number
records
required.
Number?
No, I mean, yes, you do.
Yes.
However, you don't have to do anything to make any advance.
Okay.
And that's only thing. Yeah, so if you wait until you think, you're not obligated by anything.
Okay.
And obviously, you can call them. It's just the void of a future. You call them, if you said you wanted a copy of this, and they still want a copy.
You know what I'm saying?
But if someone came to you and said, I want the next few meetings, you don't have to provide them. That's not a sufficient report.
Yeah.
And that's one reason.
Well, I talked to him on the phone and told him that we have to wait until after his case is done to go over and request.
Because that's how it's been abused. The way it's been abused is that people will ask for things in advance.
Yeah, but I didn't want to, like, get trouble for not taking
the request.
Yeah,
that's the brothers, right?
Yeah.
That they can go to anyone of any possessor of general. No, not really. She just sent a policy. No, let me see what she wrote.
Okay, let's resume with case number 6.
Mr. Kep.
Yes, we'll now turn to case number 17, Cove Properties, LLC.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, would you step forward and be sworn?
Good morning. My name is Logan Breen. B as in boy, R-E-E-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm the testimony you must provide? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. What's your affiliation with Toe Properties, LLC?
I'm a managing member of the management company.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
Right. With that, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let's ask the city inspector. Mr. Inspector, if you would please tell me how long it should take the respondent to come into compliance?
They should be able to bring the property into compliance by next cutoff.
Next cutoff being August 7, 2013.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Breen, what say you to that?
We can do that. I just need several clarifications that I haven't been able to get from the code enforcement.
Okay.
I have several times visited or contacted the downstairs licensing department to get my business license. I'm being told by them that I need a business tax receipts license for each property. I'm being told by code enforcement that I need in a rental program.
I'm sorry, you have to talk to the microphone.
This is an email from the housing clerk stating that this property is not yet in the rental program, so I need clarification on which licenses and permits I need.
Can I take a plan for the
someone explain to me what's going on?
Yes. I'll ask Ms.
The rental program has been instituted in the city, and yes, in fact, it is an ordinance for this for the entire city. However, due to staffing, they are working in the 32118 area code only. So that means that the rest of the city, although the ordinance says they have to participate in the rental program and register all their properties, they're not being looked at in that manner. Therefore, as the gentleman just stated, he's being told one thing and yet another. It's just needs clarification down in the permitting and licensing area. I will get with the director down there to ensure that all citizens get informed properly. What he'll need is to, if it is a rental property, he will have to get a BTR, business tax receipt, for that property. However, he won't be required to go through the rental inspection as required per our city ordinance, because they have not gotten into that area as of yet.
There was some need for clarification.
So are you clear now?
So when does he come into compliance? When ultimately... when ultimately the rental program reaches his area?
No. The only thing that he'll have to do is he'll have to apply for the BTR, which is the business tax receipt, which will allow him to be able to use the property as a rental and correct the code violations that are indicated, the smoke detectors, interior surfaces, and all that. He should be able to do by the next cutoff, as indicated by Officer Stenson.
So what would be removing this? What was our status on?
No, the rental license will stay in place, but that's the BTR.
Okay, I mean, what I'm asking is, do we want to remove it from this current list, or will we leave this and give him time to get there?
The That's BTR, he should be able to get soon. Just go downstairs and apply for it, correct. And once it's been issued, he's in compliance.
Okay. All right. Then it sounds as though I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by August 7, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter, and...
Plus the
one-time administrative fine of $250 for the, it's now a business tax receipt?
Yeah.
Business tax receipt. Okay. All right, so it sounds like you take care of the smoke detectors, you take care of the interior surfaces, you take care of the exterior surfaces, you take care of the sidewalks and driveways and screens. I don't know about the working without permits. I don't know what that means. But it sounds as though you're in this twilight area as they're transferring into another program. But from what I'm hearing, you can be accommodated in, you know, getting this business tax receipt.
Yeah. our company's in the business of buying, selling real estate. We generally don't rent. However, because of title issues, we bought the set of tax deed. We decided to put it into a rental situation, so we have no problem coming compliant with the codes. I do have a few other issues that I'm in. The driveway, I'm not certain. I've had my maintenance and my staff at my office contact Mr. Stenson about what exactly needs to be repaired for the driveway from digging out and replacing the entire driveway, which requires basically grinding large amount of roots that actually crack the driveway. To yesterday, I was told I just need to fill that in with concrete, and the two paths need to be continuous from the sidewalk to the garage. I would like to be in compliance on that. I'd like to pull a permit with my general contractor to do that. I've had several general contractors look at the property. I need to know the extent of what would... at what point I'd be in compliance.
All right, well, unfortunately, I'm not the arbiter as far as the mechanisms is how you... Well, I guess I am the arbiter as the mechanisms how you can make ones. I guess what I'm here to say is you and Mr. Stenson need to be discussing whatever alternatives may or may not be available to you. And at that point, then I guess you just need to give it your best shot as far as what you think is the most practical thing to do in conjunction with what you feel brings you into compliance. So all I can say in that regard is when it's a matter of trying to understand what is going to be required to satisfy some of these requirements, the first line, if you will, is to discuss it with the building inspector. What's your other one while we're at it?
Windows. There's no work been done to the windows by us, our company. There was a prior window company that actually sold this to the prior owner, who then fell into mortgage foreclosure and tax deed foreclosure, which we acquired the property through.
Okay.
There's no broken windows that we've been notified of. We've not repaired any broken windows. We've done no unpermitted work to any windows. And we're being cited for that in the
Maybe they just didn't know the history that you just unloaded us.
Right. It's been... Okay. I've discussed these issues with the code enforcement agent both yesterday and prior to my staff.
Well, if you think you're wrong, then I guess we'll hear it here.
Okay. And then that is in general the only other issues we pulled permits and corrected being the plumbing. The tenants there had actually caused a plumbing issue. They've caused, but the screen issues, they've taken screens off. They popped them out. They've been, as far as my check yesterday and my maintenance guy's checks, which we check on this property almost every day because they had several cars driving on the yard there. They crushed our pipes, $4,000 worth of damage to our waste system. So as far as the screens, that's just a matter of it's been complied with. The smoke detectors are there, existing. I have pictures of those if you need them. Or for Mr. Stanton to take a look at.
Well, unfortunately, that's the property owner, the sins of your tenant are going to be paid for by you.
I understand that. I understand that risk.
And just kind of envision this as a snapshot in time in which you need to come into compliance by August 7th and then hopefully maintain everything from that point on.
So on the drive, the driveway...
I don't know what to tell you. The solution to driveways, you'll have to talk to the city about what alternatives may be available to you. I mean...
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the driveway or what those alternatives may be, and I would suggest you call Mr. Stinson and either meet with him or talk to him or meet with him out there and start talking about, you know, if the traditional route, if you will, doesn't work for one reason or another, so you can start talking about whatever alternatives are available.
Okay. Understood.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. What was the date for compliance?
August 7th, 2013.
Thank you.
Case number 18, John G. Taylor.
Mr. Kelton, and was it Mr. Green just before he leaves? Well, I guess Mr. Simpson will take care of that, but I just wanted to clarify on that permit issue. If there is a circumstance where there's unpermitted work and he takes on ownership, that unpermitted work becomes something that he'd have to remedy either by getting permits and having inspections or removing the work. That just kind of comes with the property.
Okay. Mr. Taylor, come on up. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
John Taylor.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. Mr. Taylor, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent non-compliance. Let's say the city.
Good morning. This property was complaint-driven about working on the roof without permits. He's had permits in the past. They have expired without the work being completed. My last conversation with the property owner, he stated that he would rather not continue to work pulling new permits because the property was in foreclosure or the bank was trying to take the property. As of this morning, I did find a notice of Liz pendants that was filed on 4/19. However, the two permits, one for the repair from fire, which roof, he applied for that on 3/11/11. And that permit was never finaled. It was issued 3/29/11. It was never finaled. It went ahead and expired on 9/26/11. So that's a dead permit. There was another permit that he had for electrical work. That was applied for on 9/21/10. That permit wasn't even issued. It was just applied for. So that's a dead issue. So ultimately, there was work being done on the property that was not completed. For whatever reason, the permits expired, the work is not done, and the property appears to be in the same condition.
Okay. Let's say, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, I had TLE Construction pull the permits on there, and they were supposed to upgrade it all, updated it, and the guy never did because I do roost. I was working out of town for restaurants for Del Mar Roofing for 26 years. I had to quit my job because of this stuff going on at my property. And like I said, the house is going into foreclosure. I was going through this home modification plan with the bank, and then they just sent me a letter the other day saying that I'm not qualifying for that. I pulled the got the paperwork to apply for the permit because I did call the head permit inspector guy and had him to try to get the extension on the permits. He finally got back with me and told me that I'd just go ahead and pull your own permits on the house and get the work done. And I was going to do that, but since they're turning me down on the modification plan, they'll continue on with the foreclosure. So,
are you in foreclosure now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about ready to be subpoenaed for court here within the next week or two. So they've got me. You know, I've been fighting banks. The banks have had my insurance money. Bank of America had my insurance money first, and they tried to foreclose on me. They couldn't foreclose on me, so they sold my property to this new mortgage company. Now this new mortgage company has started all this. They threw all this stuff on my escrow account that's not legal, and it's been nothing but a battle for the past 2 years. I've been fighting these banks to get my insurance money to do my roof. I can't even do it. I'm displaced. I got to live in motel rooms and everywhere else until I can get my house done, and I can't even do it because I don't have the money. Huh?
You don't live here?
No, right now I've just got my stuff stored now. I had to take stuff out of my storage because, see, originally it was set up as a duplex, but it's only been registered as a single-family home. It's only been used as the family. But the 223 side, which is on the right-hand side of the house, was not damaged in the fire. The 225 to the left side is the section that was damaged. It was only the roof structure that was damaged. Okay, and that's where when the permits were ineffective, I've already tore the roof off and put the new structure back, and I only had enough money to deck it in and dry it in. And then TLE Construction was supposed to continue on because I had to go out of town because I was doing McDonald's. So they were supposed to continue with the decking, and then these guys didn't even do the decking right. They used 3/8 plywood, and they used 1x, and they did all kinds of crap on there. I had to tear off all the decking and start all over again. And so it's just been nothing but a fiasco with this property. I'm about ready to just let the bank take it because I'm tired of fighting. Like I said, I've been homeless for 2 years.
So what are the current plans as far as getting a roof permit?
No. Well,
zero.
Well, I got the application. I was going to file for the roof permit to get it, and the new company I'm working for, we were going to put the roof on. But now the mortgage company is taking me those foreclosing. They're not going to work with me on the home modification deal. So, like I said, they're going to drag me into court and foreclose on me. So I'm not at the point where I don't know which way to go.
All right, well, unfortunately, my role is just to basically bang on your head about when you're going to get it done. So, all that having been said, Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to obtain a valid roof permit?
By next cutoff.
Our inspector is saying you ought to be able to have this taken care of by August 7th. What do you say?
That, one way or the other, I'll either be kicked out or I'll get the permit for the house. For the roof. And what I'm going to do, I'll either be drug into court and the bank will own it, or I'll have a permit by then. I've got the application. I've already got it filled out. I was getting ready to bring it down there and submit it when the same day I got the letter from the mortgage company saying that they weren't helping me. So it's kind of like stuck me in a corner, like I don't know what, you know, a rock between a hard place, you know. But like I said, if I have to, I'll get the permit. But if they're going to foreclose on me, then I'm just going to let them have it because they've got my insurance money and everything, and nobody's helping me out.
What insurance money do you keep talking about?
On the house. They got $33,000 of my insurance money, yeah. It was originally $48,000. The banks only paid me $16,000. And I've been nothing but fighting banks and insurance companies for the past 2 years, along with having 2 deaths in my family.
So what, the bank got the proceeds from the fire claim?
Yeah. Yeah, Bank of America had the money, And then they tried to foreclose on me. Like I said, they only gave me $16,000. $16,000 got me as far as it is right now. I got the old roof structure tore off, put the new structure in, and got it dried in. That's as far as that got me. And then they tried to foreclose on me. They couldn't foreclose on me. Then they turned around and sold it to this other mortgage company, Ocwen.
Ocwen,
yeah, they have it now. And like I said, and they threw all kinds of stuff on my escrow account, and I was fighting them for 6 months. And then for like 4 months, nobody knew where my insurance money was. So finally the insurance money showed up. They finally got my insurance money. Then they turned around and jacked my mortgage up from $500 to $900. And I've been fighting these people ever since.
Well, wish you luck. Unfortunately, down here in code land.
Yeah, I know. It's just, like I said, I'm stuck in there. One way or the other, they're either going to take me in and foreclose on it, or I'm going to get the. I've got the permit. I can submit the paperwork for the permit.
I'll follow through on the permit, and you'll catch a break.
Well, I want to say, Ms. Vukelji, that the list pending was just filed on recorded May 3rd of 2013. So it may not be as immediate as Mr. Taylor's expecting, but who knows.
Sunday. I just got served papers Sunday saying that the proceedings are continuing.
Yeah. They filed a motion for recall.
Well,
so it depends. You know, if they still work with me, like I said, I'll get the permit and I'll continue with the roof.
You haven't hired an attorney to fight the foreclosure.
I haven't had the money to do anything. Yeah. I'm displaced. I've been displaced for 2 years, and like I said, and one of my immediate family members passed away too, just last 2 years ago, and it's been nothing but a struggle ever since then.
All right. Well, I'm going to go through the formalities. I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 7, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If along the way things start happening and maybe you're ending up with this property and maybe you're getting this roof and you're needing additional time to come into compliance and it looks like it's actually going to be feasible for you, call the inspector just to let him know.
Yeah, I will.
I don't know that he has the power to do anything about it, but at least we'll have a record of it.
Yeah.
If we see you again, we'll remember that.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, do we have any miscellaneous business for the special magistrate?
Okay. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. If not,
no.
Return. No.